prayer we just had that this is not just any day, this is the Lord's day. It's His day. And what's great about the Lord's day is we know where we're going to be. We're going to be here. We're going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And it's a blessing to see everybody this Lord's day morning. Open your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. That's where we're going to start this morning. Hope you have your Bible open, and I hope you have your traveling shoes on, because we're going to look at a map in a few minutes, and we're going to do some traveling with Paul as we take a look at Silas. We are continuing our Be Like series. And one of the things that I've done really unintentionally in this series is try to mix together some unfamiliar people with some familiar people. Like last week, we looked at David, and we're so familiar with David that we had to confine ourselves to just one chapter in the Bible and just one event in his life. But we're also sprinkling in some people that we're not so familiar with. We took a look at Judah, the fourth son of Jacob, a few weeks ago, and we don't study him alone very often. We looked at Naaman's servant girl, and today we're going to look at Silas. If I were to ask you, all right, pencils out, let's take a test, write down everything that you know about Silas. Now, how far could we get with that? Maybe you might need a little card and not a full piece of paper, right? Well, he was a travel companion of the Apostle Paul. He was there in Philippi. He was there when the jailer was converted. You know, and that pretty much rounds out what we know about Silas. Well, there is a little more to this man, and I want to spend some time looking at him this morning. He is introduced to us in Acts chapter 15 and verse 22 as a leading man among the church in Jerusalem. And the last time he is mentioned in the book of Acts is in chapter 18 and verse 5. So not a lot of chapters there in which he is involved. Silas, the name Silas, is a shortened version of the name Silvanus. And the name Silvanus appears four times in the epistles. And we are confident that this is the same man. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, and 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, the name Silvanus appears. The name Silvanus is from the Latin word silva, which means the forest or the woods. The name Sylvania, and it's used today for towns and territories, means a forest or a wooded area. Transylvania means beyond the forest, beyond the woods. And we're a little familiar with Transylvania, that name. Silvanus or Silas was most likely a Hellenistic Jew. That is, he was raised outside of Judea. And from Acts 16, verse 37, we know that he was a Roman citizen. We aren't told anything about his place of birth, the date of birth, or his death at all. Not a single word that he spoke is recorded for us in the New Testament, which is interesting. Why are we paying any attention to this individual? But then I got to thinking, the same thing could be said for Timothy. And Timothy certainly is worthy of our attention. He shows up, and then just about as quickly he disappears. Why take a look at this man? Well, there are some good lessons we can learn from this travel companion of the Apostle Paul. And I want to begin where we meet him, and that is in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 15, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas have completed their first preaching journey. They've come back to Antioch, and they are there for a while, and everything is going great. And then some men come from Judea and teach false doctrine. They are teaching that these Gentiles have to be circumcised according to the law of Moses in order to be saved. And it causes a great controversy. And Paul and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem, to the source where these teachers came from, and they're going to get to the bottom of this matter. And when they show up, the church there takes this very seriously. The apostles, the elders, and these other men, come together and they talk about this matter. Peter discusses some things. Paul and Barnabas discuss some things. James says this is the fulfillment of what was written in Amos, and they conclude that it's the will of God that Gentiles do not have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so they decide to write a letter and send word back to Antioch that these men who came from us are not representing us and they're not representing the truth. And they decide not only to send back this letter, but to send back some representatives from the church in Jerusalem. And it's here that we are introduced to Silas. Verse 22, Acts 15, verse 22 says, "Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren." So here he's introduced as one who is a leading man among the brethren. I don't take from that that he is one of the elders, because they are mentioned separately. It's simply he's someone that the church looks up to. He's someone that has a leading type of influence with the church there. And because of the task that he's being sent on, we know that he is a man who can be trusted to accurately represent the church in Jerusalem to the brethren in Antioch. So Silas is a leader, and he is a trustworthy man. We learn that about Silas here. As you read the letter itself, we see that Silas has risked his life for the cause of Christ. You look in verse 25 and 26. "It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, someone could say, well, that phrase, "men who have risked their lives," that could apply to Paul and Barnabas, and certainly it could. But why would the church in Jerusalem be telling the church in Antioch that their Paul and Barnabas had risked their lives for the cause of Christ? They already know that. I believe this statement here is talking about Silas and Judas, that these men, just like Paul and Barnabas, are putting forth an effort to defend the cause of Christ, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they've had to put their lives on the line in order to do this. Putting your life on the line, risking your life for the cause of Christ, seems to be a great compliment that could be paid to a Christian in the first century. A similar compliment is made to Aquila and Priscilla by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16 and at verse 4, that they had risked their necks for the cause of Christ or to help Paul in his work. Well, the same thing was true of Silas here. So here's a man who already knows firsthand the dangers of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 32 in the text tells us that Silas was a prophet. Let's read verse 32. "Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." So here, by this verse, they've come to Antioch, and they are doing what prophets in the first century did. They are preaching. A prophet was someone who had the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit given to them through the laying on of the hands of an apostle. A prophet was one who had the ability to miraculously proclaim and share God's word to others. And so when Silas shows up, he uses this gift, he preaches the word, and it's through that preaching he is able to exhort, to encourage, and to strengthen or to build up the brethren there. They've come under attack. They've been taught false doctrine. They've had to struggle with that. Well, Silas shows up. Not only does he verify this is the truth, he preaches to them. He encourages them. So Silas is impressive here from the very beginning, right? We learn some very impressive things about him. But what we know him most for is that he traveled with the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. So let's take a look at that. Let's focus in on that. To do that, we'll start here at the end of chapter 15, Acts chapter 15. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they decide they want to go back and visit the churches, but Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. Paul doesn't want anything to do with that. The contention becomes so strong that they part ways, and Barnabas takes John Mark with him, and they go to Cyprus. Paul decides to take Silas with him. So Silas is taking the place of Barnabas. This whole series started with Barnabas. Could you imagine stepping into his shoes and taking his place? But here's Silas doing it. Stepping in his shoes and taking his place. Well, they start off, as we read the text, chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so Paul and Silas, they leave Antioch here, which is in Syria. So they go through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches as they're making their way. And then they come to the area of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. And it is here that they pick up Timothy. Paul has Timothy circumcised, and Timothy travels with them. And then they travel all the way over to the coast of Troas. And it's there from reading the book of Acts and the pronouns change, we understand that it's there that they pick up Luke. And so what starts with Paul and Silas, now Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they receive the Macedonian call and they go across into Europe. And so Silas is with Paul as the gospel is first introduced to the continent of Europe. And they go to Philippi, and there, of course, Lydia, they meet out by the river, and she is converted, and the gospel there enjoys much success, but then it also faces opposition. And so here in Philippi, Silas again is going to suffer physically for the cause of Christ. We know that Silas and Paul were seized by the owners of a possessed slave girl whom Paul cast a demon out of. They're dragged to the authorities in the marketplace, and they're brought before the magistrates. Verses 20 and 21, they're charged with teaching customs, which is not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe. They are exceedingly troubling our city. No witnesses are called. Paul and Silas are not allowed to give a defense, but they are sentenced and they are punished harshly. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, we read this passage, we're familiar with it, and we take a look at that. We know, yes, Paul was beaten. Paul had his shirt ripped off his back. They took rods and they put stripes on Paul, and then they put him into the prison. They put his feet in the stocks, and we're very familiar with what Paul is doing here. And Silas would say, I was there too. I was there too. You want to see the stripes on my back? You want to see the scars from my beating? I was there too. And we know in verse 25, at midnight, it's Paul and Silas who are praying and singing hymns unto God. And the earthquake occurs, and Paul cries out to the jailer, do yourself no harm. But the jailer goes in and takes out Paul and Silas. Sirs, plural, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, Silas is very much involved in the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Let's give him credit for that. Here, let's give Silas credit for sticking with Paul and not abandoning Paul to face all of this alone. Remember, that's the reason he didn't want John Mark going with him. He didn't want someone who was going to quit. He wanted someone who was going to stay there with him. And Silas stayed there with him. An interesting statement is made by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last letter that we have from him, here in the last chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 16, Paul makes this observation. At my first defense, No one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Silas could say, I didn't do that. And Paul would have to acknowledge, Silas didn't do that. Silas didn't abandon me when it got tough. Silas stayed with me. So Silas was loyal. He was a loyal worker. He stayed there even when things got rough. He stayed there with Paul. So let's give him credit for that. It's interesting how everything in Philippi comes to an end. The next morning, after the jailer is converted, remember the authorities decide, all right, they've been in jail overnight, go and let them go. And Paul says, we're Roman citizens, and you've treated us like this. You're not going to just get away with just letting us go. And they show up with hat in hand, basically pleading for Paul not to hold this against them and begging them to leave the town. And so they leave Philippi. Again, as you look at the pronouns, it's clear that Luke stays in Philippi. But Paul and Titus and Paul and Timothy and Silas go to Thessalonica. In chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, the gospel enjoys success, but then a riot breaks out. Okay, we know what happened in Philippi. Imagine from Silas's point of view, okay, I was beaten and thrown in the prison. Now it looks like I'm going to be murdered. A riot is breaking out. Well, they escape that. They're taken down to Berea. The Bereans are more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. But then again, trouble starts again, and Paul leaves from Thessalonica. He leaves Silas and Timothy in Thessalonica and goes on to Athens. But what's interesting, as soon as he gets to Athens, he realizes he needs his companions. You look in chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So Paul has traveled down to Athens. As soon as he gets there, before the people go back to Thessalonica, he says, when you get there, you tell Silas and Timothy to come to me immediately. As we're reading the book of Acts, Timothy and Silas don't show up until chapter 18 in verse 5. When Paul has preached in Athens and they've laughed at the resurrection, and he goes on to Corinth. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. So here, Paul has traveled from Athens to Corinth, and it is at Corinth, we're told, that Timothy and Silas come from Macedonia. This area up here is the area of Macedonia. Thessalonica and Berea, where Paul left them. So they come and they join him in Corinth. Now, if we're just reading the book of Acts, that's the way it looks, that Timothy and Silas didn't join Paul till he got to Corinth. But, and this is one of the things that makes studying the New Testament so rich, as you continue to study and continue to dig, you find some links that you don't see the first time you read through. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. So here's one of the letters in which Silas is mentioned, but he's mentioned with his epistle name, Silvanus. But look at chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. So notice, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, we, plural, were in Athens, and we couldn't endure it any longer. We decided to send Timothy back to you. Who is the we? Go back to chapter 1, verse 1. we see that Silas and Timothy were there with Paul in Athens. This is just a side note, but it's one of the things that you find as you continue to read and continue to study the New Testament and continue to put the epistles in the book of Acts where they belong. All these details come to the surface. And so we see that, yes, Silas was with Paul in Athens, and then he was with Paul in Corinth. Why does it say that they came to Paul in Corinth? Well, we already see here from 1 Thessalonians 3 that Paul has gotten into the habit of sending Timothy and Silas to do things for him and to go different places for him. So it's very likely that, yes, they were with Paul when he was in Athens. Timothy was sent someplace. Perhaps Silas was sent someplace as well. The book of Philippians mentions the fact that the Philippians helped Paul in the preaching of the gospel when he left Macedonia. So Silas could have been sent back to Philippi. Could you imagine? Silas, I want you to go back to Philippi. Keep your shirt on this time. Try not to get thrown in jail again, right? But Silas, whatever it was that Paul asked, we know Timothy and Silas did. But in Acts chapter 18 and at verse 5, that's the last we read of Silas. We read of Timothy, but that's the last we read of Silas. What happened to him? Well, it could be that when Paul went on from Corinth to Ephesus on this missionary trip, that Silas stayed in Corinth. That could be. Here's something else that is interesting. It appears that Peter came to Corinth. When Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 12, remember there were some there who were calling themselves after Cephas. And then in chapter 9, and at verse 5, Paul again mentions Peter by the name of Cephas, the fact that they knew that he traveled with his wife. It could be that Peter went to Corinth, and it could be that he was there when Silas was there. What's interesting is that when we get to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, as Peter is wrapping up this letter, he says, by Silvanus. Now, we've read that name before. That's the name of Silas used in the epistles. Is this the same? So it could be a different person. It could be, yes. But what if it is Silas? What if it is the man that we've been studying so far this morning? Notice, he's no longer with Paul. Now he's with Peter. And he's helping Peter. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, he hasn't changed any, has he? Peter looks upon him the same way that Paul looked upon him, same way that the church in Jerusalem looked upon him. He's a faithful brother. We can count on him. As I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. It appears that Silvanus, or Silas, is the one who took this letter written by Peter to its recipients, to those who were dispersed in Asia Minor. And this closes the book on what we know about Silas or what we know about Silvanus. What have we learned about him as we've taken a quick trip? Like I said, we had our Bibles open, we had our traveling shoes on, and we've covered a lot of ground with this man. What have we learned about Silas this morning? Well, we've learned, number one, that he was trusted to accurately represent the apostles, elders, and the church in Jerusalem during the midst of a great controversy. He's a man who could be trusted. We've seen also that he is a man who stood by and suffered with Paul in the preaching of the gospel. He didn't abandon Paul when things got rough. He stuck with Paul. We see that he was a leading man in the church in Jerusalem, but this leading man was more than willing to become a servant of Paul and later a servant of Peter. And that tells me that he was really loyal to no man above Christ. That his loyalty was first and foremost with Christ, which made him a trusted and faithful worker in the Lord. And as we pull all this together, we are going through a series in which we are being admonished to be like Silas. How is that you and I can be like Silas? The one word that I thought of to wrap all this up is be reliable. Be someone that the Lord can count on. Be someone that your brethren can count on. Let's learn from Silas. Let's learn how to be reliable. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to serve you and the opportunity to prove what kind of servants we are. We pray that as we study from the New Testament and we look at the great heroes of faith that are so familiar to us, that we would also look at those who are less familiar and we would learn from their good examples, that we could be like Silas, that we could be dependable, that we would stand by those who are struggling and suffering as they preach and teach the gospel, and that we would be a servant to all those who are serving you. Help us, Father, to be reliable servants of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.